We're putting the band back together.
From the Twisted Minds, we brought you the original Fan Ball.
We had a bad pilot enough to turn goat piss in the gas.
This is the Fan Ball Fantasy Football Podcast.
If you're dumb, surround yourself with smart people. And if you're smart, surround yourself with smart people who disagree with you.
And welcome back to the Fan Ball Fantasy Football Podcast. We are going over the week one Sunday slate of pricing episode by episode. We've had a lot of fun with these. I'm Scott Fish. I'm here today with Jay Clemens, who is fine. And
well,
John,
I do have something to say, though.
Okay.
If this is technically episode four in Star Wars lingo, this is the very first one, then.
Oh,
correct?
Yeah, yeah, I suppose. But who knows what order we'll publish these in. How are you doing today, John?
Impressed. He was like, he just dropped Star Wars knowledge.
No, I was going to go with a Hollywood reference that, you know, we shot these out of sequence.
Yes.
So, you know, you never know if
Burt Reynolds,
if Jay's
said,
available in the last episode or not.
Burt Reynolds always said the only movie he ever shot in sequence was Deliverance, because when they were going down the mountain, I mean down the river, if someone broke their leg or something weird happened to Ned Beatty before something weird happened to Ned Beatty, then they would be able to react to it in the movie.
That is interesting. I did not know that about Deliverance.
They didn't use the outtakes in Deliverance quite like they did in Smokey and the Bandit. That would have been, I would have paid to see Deliverance outtakes.
You're right.
Well, maybe I wouldn't have.
Cannibal
I would have sold
Run,
them on the black Martin market.
Smokey and the Bandit, by all means. But yeah, you don't see many Ned Beatty outtakes there.
I'm fine, by the way.
This is why people come to this show, too.
They come for the fantasy advice, but they stay for the
banter.
Nuggets, you know?
Yes. All right, so we're going to talk about wide receivers today, and let's just start it off. John, a lot of wide receivers playing today, but a lot of are on the Sunday slate, but a lot of top cornerbacks are out. I saw you writing a few of that, a little bit of that information down.
Yeah, I was going through. Doug Farrar did a great list of the top 10 shutdown corners, and five of his top six won't be playing on the Sunday slate. You've got Casey Hayward from the Chargers, Aqib Talib and Chris Harris from the Broncos, Xavier Rhodes from the Vikings, Marcus Peters from the Chiefs. So a lot of receivers running free, I think, on the Sunday slate, which is good news because you like those fantasy points.
Yeah, yeah. That's you know, anything that helps a fantasy wide receiver, that's always good, always good news for your fan ball lineup. So let's start out with what's the chalk this week? What do you got, Jay?
Let's go with – I know we're going to talk about Julio in a minute here, but let's start out with A.J. Green, 9,100. You know, he was injured last year, so there's a tendency to just kind of discount what he did. But people forget, through 10 games, he was basically – I think he was at 100 targets, which is 10 per game. He was on track for 100 catches and maybe even 1,500 yards, perhaps his best season ever, minus the touchdowns, of course. Here's the deal. I've got some great A.J. Green stats here. The last time he played Baltimore was he had 8 catches, 134 yards, and 1 touchdown, but I got a better stat than that. The last 5 times he's played Baltimore, he scored a touchdown in all 5 occasions.
Ooh,
and once
nice.
There was a double. So he has 6 overall touchdowns in his last 5 games against the Ravens. I mean, I would buy at any price for him in week one.
And here I was concerned that he'd be drawing some Jimmy Smith coverage, but I know Smith was injured a little bit, but that's a five. I mean, that's 5 games. So
yeah,
he's getting it done on Jimmy
that's
Smith.
A trend.
He's getting
well,
it done on anybody.
Here's the deal. If we're using Doug Farrar's piece, which I also saw, then based on what you just said, that would make Jimmy Smith technically the number 2 or number 3 guy for the quarterback for that Sunday period. But still, I'm not afraid.
Nice.
Not with those numbers, no.
Yeah.
Nice. And the other guy that Jay mentioned at the top there is one of my chalk plays for this weekend, Antonio Brown. Yeah, he's the most expensive wide receiver on the slate, the Sunday slate. He's $10,000. But in his last 2 games against Cleveland with Martavis Bryant in the lineup, he had 331 total yards and 3 touchdowns over those 2 games, totaling like over 160 yards in each contest. I mean, when there is someone drawing coverage on that other side, it seemed like Antonio Brown feasted on Cleveland. And the Browns were the 22nd ranked defense last year against wide receivers. I mean, they let up some points. That's such a good matchup that the 10,000 price might actually be worth it. I don't know, John. What do you have for a chalk play?
Well, I've got Mike Evans as a chalk play in addition to Brown and Julio, both guys that you talked about. Evans has a $9,700 price point, but he gets the Dolphins, and you know, as we've talked about on these shows, as I've written about on the site, as I pretty much talk about anywhere I'm on the radio, that Buccaneers offense is built for speed this year. It's built to maximize Jameis Winston. And Evans is going to be the guy they go to. You know, they've got DeSean Jackson running down one side, but I like Evans. I'm willing to shell out big money against Miami's defense to see what happens in week one.
Julio, we talked about him real quick. The Bears were 30th against the pass last year.
Mm-hmm.
Julio's 3-year averages of, what, 108 catches, 165 targets, more than 1,600 yards, 7 touchdowns, and a great stat of his last 5 season openers. Julio, just like our friend AJ Green, is a perfect 5-for-5 in either collecting 100 yards or 1 touchdown in the game.
Ooh, that is nice. That sounds like a stat I have about a different team and a different player later in the podcast.
Ooh,
under values.
That's a little foreshadowing.
A little tease there. So let's talk about some values, unless we had another chalk. I think we hit them all. So
I think we got the chalk covered.
All right, let's talk about some values. 2V, why don't you start us off with one?
Well, again, a guy that I've been beating the drum for all preseason, I'm going to go with Pierre Garçon against the Panthers at a nice $6,400 price point. The way things line up, it doesn't look like he's going to see a lot of Bradbury, who's Carolina's better cornerback. So
Ray,
I think,
or James?
Not Ray.
Oh.
Well, if he's
what?
Drawn Ray,
are,
I really
if you
like
are
his
under
chances.
30 years old, you didn't get that joke. Okay.
Yeah, but I do like his chances if he's lining up against a science fiction author, that's for sure. But it's a great opportunity. You know, Brian Hoyer is going to feed his number one receiver. You know, Kyle Shanahan is going to run the offense around Pierre Garçon. And if he's not necessarily drawing their top coverage, I like his opportunity at $6,400.
Yeah, Jay, who do you have? What's your first one?
Okay, we'll go with two. And, you know, it seems to be a good pacing for this particular section. Whenever you come to me, I like to play one with stats, and I like to play one with a hunch, okay? The stats one is really easy. Rishard Matthews, $5,500, very, very doable right there. In his last 12 games, he has 9 touchdowns. During that span, he has 4 different outings of double-digit targets. I know you want to kind of knock the Titans. They don't really have a lot of stability, or at least definition in terms of who is what, but I think Rishard Matthews, at least before Corey Davis finds his sea legs as an NFL receiver, Rishard Matthews is a clear number one, even if Eric Decker is on the roster. And then we have Tavon Austin, $3,600, okay? It's not so much about Austin. It's about the fact that Sean McVay there is there. Austin, I believe last year, had 12 targets in week one, but only 4 catches for 13 yards. Gone are the days, guys, of Tavon Austin having 12 targets and only 4 catches to speak of. Like, Sean McVay will be a difference maker, and more so they're going against the Colts, and I think I'm on record here. The Colts might have the worst pass defense in the history of pass defenses, and so this could be a wonderful week one for Tavon Austin, especially at that price point.
Wow, that is an interesting call, and I know how much you hate the Colts defense.
That's the thing. Like, I don't know why. I mean, if the Lions can carve you up with their second teamers and the Colts have their first teamers out there, it's not going to end well for you.
Jay know? Probably hates that you can only start 5 players against a single defense weekly and daily.
Is that a rule?
Yeah, that is a rule.
Oh, I never. Okay. Yep.
So you
I didn't even know that.
You can only start 5 Rams versus the Colts if you're going to try that this
is
week.
Is that a
just
fanball
so you know.
Thing or is that universal?
I think it's compliance.
Okay. I'm going to be honest. I'm that person when you sign up for
but
a
how
site.
Often does that happen?
When you
sign 5
up for a
against
site and you got to read the rules. Yeah. I don't read the rules. I would be a very bad lawyer.
Well, I'm going to go with one that's related to my chalk play, which is Martavis Bryant. I already mentioned he had a huge game against the Browns 2 years ago, a long time ago, the last time he was still playing NFL football. But I just really love that matchup. The Browns allowed the third most touchdowns. Third or fourth most touchdowns to wide receivers last year. I think both Brown and Bryant could feast. I think Bryant is really, really going to want to show up for week one. So I really like him this week. Tuvi, it looked like you had another one.
I do have another one. I've got Devontae Parker, and I'm really starting to come around on him. I believe, Jay, you had him as in our sleeper article.
I've had him in pretty much every article. Yeah, basically, I think I have Parker higher than anybody for the season.
Yeah. Well, I might be challenging that because with the shift at quarterback to Jay Cutler, I'm backing off on Jarvis Landry because that's not the type of receiver he uses. He likes to go to the target radius type of guy.
Kind of showed that this last week.
Wait a minute. You're saw basically that last just night. Parroting what Mike Mayock was kind of like, you know, this isn't dink and dunk anymore. This is we're going downfield. You know?
Well, I think most people know that about Cutler, though.
If I'm sharing a thought with Mike Mayock, I think I'm doing something right because I respect that guy's opinion. But looking back at what Elshon Jeffrey did with Jay Cutler last year, even going back further, those are the kind of guys he likes. So you've got Parker at what's the price point? $5,200. I mean, that's take another $800 off of. Of what Pierre Garçon costs. Plus, it doesn't look like he's going to draw a lot of Brent Grimes. Brent Grimes is probably going to end up on the Jarvis Landry side of the field. So it doesn't matter if Jay Cutler's going to throw it whether he's covered or not. Plus, we should mention that in fan ball scoring, you don't get dinged when Jay Cutler throws that interception. Nope. No negative points. We're all about the positivity here. So
even
I think that's part of the
points,
reason that Jay Cutler came back.
Well, of course. Even if there were negative points in fantasy, I've never once picked against a quarterback based on the assumption, well, he's going to throw four interceptions today. Because if you're picking a guy, you're going on the assumption that you like him for at least 300 yards and multiple touchdowns at a minimum.
Obviously, they didn't have DFS when Vinny Testaverde was playing because we had the negative scoring in my league for a while until we abolished it. And it was the Vinny Testaverde rule.
Didn't Vinny just retire 2 years ago? So maybe
but he didn't play for about the last five of those. So he was
a
clipboard
holder.
He
came out of retirement to hold the clipboard. And any of you would have done the same thing.
Oh, absolutely.
I do want to go back to Martavis Bryant for a second because I failed to give my awesome stat.
Let's hear it.
I might have to edit this together in a funny, awesome way. But
what, to make yourself look better? Wow.
Yes. Yes, I'm going to edit all of Jay and John out. It's just going to be me for 10 minutes. So Martavis Bryant, he plays Cleveland, right? Cleveland has allowed 96 yards and a touchdown 4 out of the last 5 years. And they have allowed a touchdown in every single year since 2006. The only one that didn't was 2005. Chad Johnson, he had 91 yards and no touchdown.
I think it's the curse of Frisman Jackson.
Yeah,
the opposite of Frisman Jackson, who went off for
opposite.
The Browns a few years ago and never did a thing.
How much waiver wire money did you put on Frisman Jackson?
Oh yeah,
that was 12 years ago, I think. Yeah, he had 2 touchdowns, 140 catches.
Yeah, something like that. People dropped
the year with
money
240 yards.
The funny thing is the Georgia Tech kid, I forget his name.
Stephen Hill?
He had 2 touchdowns in his opener, but it's just more enjoyable to say Frisman Jackson.
Oh,
yes. It's a better name.
The name like Frisman, you got to be good.
Yeah.
All right. Should we move on to trap plays?
Let's trap him.
Trap.
It's a trap. Oh, thank you, Jay, for the sounder that we still have made a sounder for.
I'm assuming that you will eventually sub in actual Admiral Akbar,
I kind of like seeing you do the Admiral Akbar impersonation.
I do have a letter out to Disney to try to get the rights to that sound. We'll see what they reply.
Isn't the rule if you can use audio up to 6 seconds and then after that you got to pay for it?
There's something like that for TV but not for podcasts or audio. That it's kind of a loosey-goosey gray area that there's no.
That sounds like a podcast itself.
How great. Yeah.
So let's jump into trap plays. All right. Jay, why don't you start this one? Who's your trap play this week?
Well, I don't know if I feel good about this because I think I've taken enough pot shots at Amari Cooper this preseason. Even though I love the kid, he's great. There's a lot of scary stats against him. He's got a $7,900 value for week one against Tennessee, okay? I think Michael Crabtree will have a wonderful game. So I think Cooper will be the one who kind of pays for it. Here's the reason I don't like Amari Cooper. For those who have not read the many articles about the Raiders on fanball.com, okay? Here's just a sampling, okay? For the months of November, December, and January last year, okay? He played into January. He didn't have a single game of 100 yards. He has never scored a touchdown in back-to-back games. In his, what, last 33 games, including the playoffs, he has 15 different outings of four or fewer catches. And, like, on a PPR scale, that scares me. And I know he'll get better, and he will be a great receiver someday. But with the assumption of him being great is far ahead of the actual production.
I'm an Amari guy. I really like Amari, but the proof is in the pudding. He just hasn't done it yet. Yeah,
when the ball's actually in his hands, he's amazing, but it just doesn't happen.
Let's hope they stop pass interferencing him in the end zone.
Well, that's the thing. That's one thing that cannot be calculated. Yeah. Is well, the effect that you have on receivers. Like Devontae Parker is going to be another guy that, man, you could almost say over under, he has at least 300 yards of pass interference calls by the end of the year.
We need to add that as a stat. We need to find a way. I mean, the way that Pro Football Focus and other sites can track pretty much everything, I think we're going to have to start tracking that.
That would seem like a pretty easy one to track, if you were actually focused on it week to week.
You know. So, John, you want to give me one?
I'll give you one, and I'll save the big dog for you. I'll go with Devontae Adams against Seattle. You know, you want a piece of that Green Bay offense, but you got Seattle coming to town, and yeah, Green Bay did handle him pretty well last year, but why poke the bear? It looks like Adams is going to draw a lot of Richard Sherman. That's just the way things line up, and Aaron Rodgers, smart quarterback that he is, doesn't throw. I mean, we've seen the stats. He doesn't throw to the elite corners. He throws away from the coverage. It's effective. It works for him, but it doesn't help Devontae Adams' fantasy bottom line. So I'm not spending the $7,300 on him.
Yeah, that is a pretty high price tag for that level of defense. That's for sure. I'm gonna start out with DeAndre Hopkins, who I really like this year. I think last year's catch rate and all of that was an anomaly, and I think very much Osweiler's fault. I know that. But this week he goes up against A.J. Boye.
Oh, Boye.
Yes. And that Jacksonville defense is really good. They're really on the way up. They have some really good personnel if they can gel and put it all together. And with, I believe it's going to be Tom Savage starting. I think that's already been announced. I don't know that I want to trot out Hopkins against Boye and that defense week one and not knowing exactly how they're going to play. That's a little too risky for me at 8,200.
Right. You have a lot of moving parts there. You've got Calais Campbell, who's going to be pressuring Tom Savage. We don't know how.
Taking out knees.
Exactly.
You know.
Tom Savage is going to be responding to that. You mentioned Boye. They've got Ramsey on the other side. I mean, no matter where they're moving Hopkins around to, he's going to see some pretty good coverage. And we've got the Tom Savage factor of what exactly does he bring to the table.
Is in an NFL game.
Is he a Brian Hoyer type that or a Jay Cutler type that I don't care. They're in coverage. I trust my guy to go get it. I don't know. I don't know if we've seen that from Savage. So I don't want. I agree with you. I don't want to pay the $8,200 to have that happen and unfold on my watch.
Definitely. And another one I have is Dez Bryant. He's a little cheaper as he should be this week, but $7,400. I know recently.
That's the trap. Yeah. That's the trap portion of this.
Yes. That is definitely a trap. Dez Bryant, $7,400. You look at that price and you think, I'm saving $2,600. And you see all the reports about how he's gelling with Dak this offseason. You see the touchdown. But the problem is he is so bad against good cornerbacks, and he's going to face Janoris Jenkins this week. He faces a lot of them this year, but, man, that's a tough matchup against a good Giants defense.
Yeah, some great stats from Scott Barrett at Pro Football Focus. Dez is the most cornerback-sensitive wide receiver over the past 3 years. So, with that matchup, again, why poke the bear? And and that low price is kind of saying, come on in. Come on, it'll be okay. It's Dez Bryant. We got no Zeke Elliott. We lots of opportunity for you, and I'm not playing that game.
Yeah, definitely. One that I'm really avoiding. There are so many better options. There are players for 2,000 or, $1,500 to 2,000 less that I like more than Bryant this week. That price is just – it's made to trap people in. You're exactly right. So do you have any more, Jay or John, before we get out of here?
No, I'm all set. I tend to live in the school where when the weather is good, the points are coming. And so, like, I don't have a lot of negative feelings for people, especially with the Sunday slate of matches. Just like what Tuvi mentioned, all the great premier cornerbacks are mysteriously playing on Thursday or Monday. So, you know, it's a high scoring
it's a nice
week.
Weekend for wide receivers. Yep. Nice weekend for wide receivers. All right, I think we're going to get out of here. We've gone over some good stuff today. A lot of information jammed into your ear holes.
That's what we're trying to do.
All right.
I'm going to go the entire year without saying ear hole.
Too late. Yeah.
I'm going to say it on every podcast now just to watch Jay squirm.
I'm going to say it in conversation with Jay, too.
Nice. All right. For John Tuvi, at Jay Tuvi on Twitter. For Jay Clemens, at MIN_JayClemens on Twitter. And for me, Scott Fish, at ScottFish24 on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.